Yet at the same time, you think about them, you think about us. How often do we bow our knee before God as well? One of the great things to look forward to in Philippians, that one day, every knee will bow. And it would be such a terrible thing if our knees are so rusty from not having done it ourselves that it's something awkward to do. But you know what? Each day, as Christians, we ought to be confessing the name of God. He is my Savior. I bow the knee before Him. And it's going to be quite the sight to behold as we, people that for years and years, their entire lives, rejected God and all that, and finally having to bow the knee. But the sad part will be that at that point, it's too late for them to trust Christ as their Savior. And so that's why it falls to us as stewards of the gospel to get the word of God out, to let people know that there is one that has already died for them, that they don't have to face that eternal punishment on their own. So let's go ahead and we'll pray again. We'll pray for, keep Mike Zavadil in prayer too as he finishes up his treatments soon. And just obviously that does all kinds of things to your body as well. And just we'll keep him in prayer for his health and his time during this. Dear Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for this day that we've already enjoyed as being around one another before your throne, Lord, and help us that we would be children in submission to you, Lord, not as some dreadful, hateful, vengeful God, Lord, but a loving God that gave his own Son to die on the cross for our sins, that we might have eternal life by faith and grace given to us as we go through your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation. Lord, we thank you for what he's done. We thank you for what you've done for us. We pray, Lord, this morning for those that cannot be here with us to just spend this time together. I pray for Brother Zavadil and his family, Lord, that you'd help him as he continues in his treatments, and that you would help his health, Lord. And again, we pray for Brother Burkree and Brother Skomsky, Lord, and many others, Lord, that might not be able to be here this morning for sickness, Lord, that you'd help them and bless them and restore them to health soon. Pray you'd bless us as we open your word yet again, that you'd speak to us through. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go back to Jonah in chapter 1, verse number 5. And this morning, part 8, we're going to look at the ripple effect. Something very real. From the time that you were a little child, how many people, we are blessed with having Lake Ontario right on our right near us. How many people would go down Lake Ontario and skip the rocks? Yes? What, just me and four other people? Okay. Or how many people would do what I have done in the past, and you go down there, and as a young guy, you're looking for the heaviest massive rock you can find to pick up. And you know full well that within moments of casting that big rock, everybody around you is going to say, "Why'd you do that?" Because it's barely going to make it. It's going to splash mud everywhere. But if you're able to get something out into that lake, especially on a clear day, that thing falls in, you see ripples form. And I want you to keep this in mind this morning as we look at this part of Jonah's journey, and as we look at some other effects that come through the ripple effect. Think about this. The ripple effect is most widely noticed and seen and areas affected when everything's still. When the waves are choppy, the waves kind of counteract the ripple and you don't notice it as much. But another thing you'll find, keep these thoughts in mind as we go through, as we apply it spiritually, when that rock or stone is thrown, there are the secondary ripples, the splash that sends droplets, and then you'll see one big ripple and a bunch of little circular ripples going on throughout that. Most noticed when everything's going right. So let's keep those thoughts in mind as we look at Jonah and study this thing about him and how we can apply it in our life. Jonah 1, verse 5, "Then the mariners were afraid and cried, every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah, good old Jonah, was gone down to the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." Jonah clearly had not thought through the impact of his decision to flee from the presence of God. And we are going to dissect that decision and the ripple effect that came as a result of it in two fashions today. And this is what affects each of our lives in when we consider the ripple effect, the short-term effects and the long-term effects, and see what happens. Because let me tell you this to start, the decisions you make rarely, I'm not going to say never, but rarely only impact you. You may think about doing something or committing some sin and think it's not going to have an effect on anybody else, and you are horribly mistaken. Here is a man that God spoke to, only him, nobody else. Nobody else heard it but Jonah. And Jonah's escaping out of the presence of Almighty God now. And still, his decision affects people he never even knew 24 hours before. Look at, let's see some of these short-term effects just in this verse that we can see and identify and pull out from here. The mariners were afraid. That phrase, when you consider the fact that they're afraid on the sea, is something that tells us the severity of the storm that had come. Mariners, experienced sailors, they're more at home on the sea than any place else. And they were afraid. It tells you how impactful the storm and the life that they're experiencing now was, because they were afraid. They've seen it all. Again, we looked at before, just seeing the route that they might have gone, no matter what the route was, whenever you are deep into the waters, you're going to experience some things. Even on shore, the waves that crash off during storms, they're going to affect you in certain ways. They had seen it all, and yet now they were afraid. After spending years per voyage, this storm was so severe that it caused them to be in great fear. Short-term effect. Let's look at another one. They began crying to their gods. Not something that you find people that have multiple gods. They don't really ever have a reason to relate to them or to speak with them. I mean, think about it. When was the last time their gods did anything for them? Never. So they're never thanking them. When they ask, it falls on literally deaf ears, because there are no ears to hear as they make their requests. But in the short term, the fear drives them to seek out their gods. So let's follow that through. Jonah's attempt to flee from the presence of God caused lost people to run to false gods. That's not right. That's not what should be happening from the behavior of a man of God. Can you imagine you or I making a decision that would do something that would make people be fearful enough, but not to go to the one true God? Instead, they run off to other religions and seek comfort in those. I'd say that we are being pretty bad servants of the Almighty God if that's a short-term effect of something that happens because of decisions we've made. Let's look at another one. It says, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it. Now, we know from other passages in Scripture what came from Tarshish: gold, silver, precious metals, and the beautiful animals of peacocks and birds and apes and things like that. That's what came. But these ships, they would go broke if they weren't carrying cargo both ways. So obviously, they're going to take something back. What do you think they're taking back? The U.S. dollar wouldn't mean much to the people of Tarshish. What are they taking back, you think? The things of value from this land. Think about it. When we see about Solomon with Tarshish, he went and gathered the help of another king, the king Hiram of Tyre, the place known for what? Who can help me out? Who knows what that area was known for? Cedars of Lebanon. Beautiful, strong cedars. So maybe it was this that they were bringing back to a desert, what would be this desert place now in the Arabian or in the India area, to bring out throughout there, to send out into the desert places to build. They don't have trees in some of those areas. So this is something of value that they might carry out. Maybe it's other type of animals. Maybe it's types of food. Who knows what it might be? I mean, obviously, we know that this was a place, the promised land, place flowing with milk and honey, and where the grapes were so big that it took two men to carry. There's a lot of precious commodity in the land of Israel. No matter what it was, it all went. They were casting forth the goods that were on the ship, things they had just loaded to take back on this very long journey. Now, these men didn't own that stuff. They were servants to the merchants. Now, let's do a little play acting here. Brother Eric and I were the sailors on the ship. we just brought thousands or possibly hundreds of thousands of dollars of great goodness from our land to the people of Israel. And they, like the dutiful customers that they were paying us back. And we're getting paid a monthly salary, a voyage salary, something. And we're taking these things back. And we had to throw it all overboard. Now you return to the place, to your bosses. Our story is, we hit such a bad storm, we had to throw it overboard, we thought we'd die. I'm going into parent mode right now, okay? Wait a minute. How long have you been sailors? How many of the high seas have you drifted upon? How many storms? And this is the time that you chose to throw it all overboard? Most of the time in these days, the sailors meant nothing to these merchants. It's like, I don't care if you die. You throw yourself over. Oh, we did that too. We threw a person over, and that seemed to help. But you get rid of yourself. You're not going to destroy my goods. But then you come into port, and it said that the ship was like to be broke, but it wasn't. It carried them back to where they were going. Can you imagine? The merchants are walking around. Look, looks like it's all here out here. Where's my goods? Now, it's very easy to say that you threw it overboard. But you know what sometimes people like that would do? They stop off someplace else. They're thinking, why are the merchants getting rich doing nothing? I'm doing all the hard work. They stop off in some other country, sell what's on board, pocket the money, and there was a bad storm. So the merchants couldn't afford to just believe them. So they would either lose all their money or even go to prison. The short-term effects of Jonah's decision put these people, these dutiful servants, in a position that may have them going to jail because of the decision Jonah made. At the very least, they lose their money. Years on the seas, and they get nothing for it. I mean, it's not like they're going to get on the phone. The messengers, it's going to take a long time to figure this whole thing out. It costs them money. It cost them possibly even their freedoms when they would get back. I mean, really, you can't think about it. They can't just go back to Israel. What are they going to say? We had to throw it overboard. Israel, like any good merchants would say, not our problem. I feel bad, but, you know, I'm not going to give you more lumber for free. So no matter what, they lost out big. Can you imagine that? Just in the short term, those were the things. The effects, the ripple effect from one decision Jonah made of saying, I'm going to flee from God. And people he never met before are now severely impacted. And where was Jonah? Look at the end of verse 5. But Jonah was gone down in the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. That's what happens a lot of times. We make decisions that have ripple effects that impact other people, and we're still thinking it's only affecting us. And Jonah's thinking, I had this multi-day journey to come through all this to get here. I'm tired. It's very exhausting trying to hide from God. Now I'm on the ship. I don't have anything to do. I paid my fare. I'm a paying passenger. I'm going to go to sleep. And if nothing else, this terrible rocking is just making him like he's in a cradle going back and forth, and he sleeps peacefully. Totally unaware of what his decisions have done to the people just above him. That's how we are. We make a decision. It impacts people. We don't even notice it sometimes. There's a man. Let's see if there's history buffs here. I'll probably totally butcher the name, so you won't recognize it anyway. Gavrilo Princip. Did I say that right? Nobody knows it, so it's okay. I must have. Yeah, that's how you say it. Gavrilo Princip. Yeah. Princip. This man was rejected from serving in the army. And this, along with other things, pushed him towards aligning himself with other people that said, you know what? We're going to kill somebody for this. And so they gathered together. They put this plan in motion. And because of his anger, he thought, you know what? I put the blame on this man. So I'm going to kill him. And that's it. It doesn't affect anybody else. I'm going to have my revenge. Except the man he killed was a man by the name of Archduke Franz Ferdinand. And 1 month later, World War I was in full swing. 20 million people died in this war because somebody said, they're not going to disrespect me. I'm going to take this guy out. And 20 million people. And the countries and borders and the trust and all that had been built up over years ruined for years because of, started with one man who said, I'm going to do something and it's not going to bother anybody else. Our decisions hopefully aren't that impactful. But we see what happens with the ripple effect. When we make a decision, we might think will impact no one else in this world. You don't know how far reach. Can you imagine if he's sitting back there waiting, just rejoicing? Maybe they're toasting their success, and he's like, yeah, this is great. If they had TVs, he's watching, and all of a sudden, due to the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand, war has been declared. Uh-oh. And then war. Because of treaties with all these various countries, the entire world was brought into this war because one man decided, I'm going to get my revenge. We think sometimes, you know what? A man might think, oh, nobody will even know I'm going to do this, and it's not going to impact anybody but me. Many a man have said that, and many a family has been destroyed, and children have gone away from the Lord. They still have a free will, but they're pushed in that direction because a father one time says, nobody will know. And it impacts one, two. And the ripple generation is not just short term, it goes long from generation to generation because one person made a decision. Let's go into that with the long term effects. If God had not pursued after Jonah, the message that he had given Jonah to say would not have been given. He wanted, this was his man, this was the prophet that God was going to use to carry that message to the people of Nineveh. If God had not pursued him, you might think it, and it's true, you think, that's so unfair, though. How could God not send somebody else? That happens in our world today, though. People will go or not go when God sends somebody. God doesn't just, all right, you go, and send them out all the time. What if that had not happened? The long-term effect was that, as it says, let's look at the words of God in this. Let's look at Jonah 4 and verse number 11. This is what God said to Jonah. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? 120,000 children, or people that were unable to discern, beyond just the children. 120,000 people God would have destroyed along with everybody else because of his decision to not go. See that long-lasting ripple effect? An entire city, a strong city, destroyed because he would not have gone. What else might have happened? Let's say that God said, okay, no message can be sent. I'm not going to destroy him for now. Well, after this happened, the revival occurred. They had 11 years of peace. What if instead of 11 years of peace, they said, we're warriors. Look at all that land Israel just got from Syria. It's looking pretty good to us. Let's go. Because after the 11 years pass, there's a man named Sennacherib that decided to go to the land of Israel and take what he wanted. What happened if that would have happened 11 years earlier? The long-term effect of Jonah's single decision could have impacted his own nation because he said, I'm not going to follow God. Now, let's look at some examples in the Word of God of good ripple effects, because it's not always a bad thing. Let's go to Daniel chapter 2. We'll keep Jonah in mind here, but we're going to go look at Daniel. Because the truth is, no matter what decisions it is that you are making, there's going to be some ripple effect. It can be bad, short-term, long-term bad, or it could be good. Think about, for example, let me think here. It was Kathy Smith's sister, one day, many, many years ago, decided to share the gospel message with her coworker and led her coworker to the Lord, who was my mom, who led me to the Lord. who and I have been blessed to be able to lead others to the Lord. A good ripple effect is one day Carol Wells said, you know what, I'm going to open my mouth and tell Alice the good news of Jesus Christ. And the ripple effect from that has gone through generations. Because of one woman's decision is to tell a friend, I got some good news for you. So there are definitely good ripple effects that can happen. Let's look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 16. It says, then Daniel went in. This is after the king Nebuchadnezzar is furious that none of his vaunted wise men and magicians and all of these, the Chaldeans, cannot tell him his dream. And then now he's going to kill them all. Daniel answered, verse 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Can you imagine if Daniel didn't do that? I mean, Daniel's mind, to my knowledge and what the Bible records, none of anybody else had gone in to do this. But Daniel could have been thinking, I'm going to die anyway. He's going to kill us all. So let me step up. He might kill me sooner. Let me see if he'll let me do this. If he had not made a decision to approach the king and say, let my God speak. Let's see what God will do. Daniel could have been killed. This would have likely had this, if he had not done that, and let's say that God still saved them, this very thing that Daniel did had an impact, likely had an impact in his position of authority later on in this and other kingdoms. But let's look at another one that came out of this short term, Daniel 2:47. Let's go to verse 46. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Made a heathen king say, God is a God of gods.
That's right.
Because one man decided, you know what, I'm going to step forward and speak to the king. Could have been anybody else. But Daniel's choice caused a ripple effect that in the short term saw Nebuchadnezzar say, God is the God of gods. Because one person said, I'm going to speak up. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. This, young men, this one's targeted right for you. Applicable for all of us, but something special just for you. 1 Samuel 17. Now I know as a young man, I mean, you got to remember, I grew up just like you guys. I mean, I've been where you've been. I've literally sat where you're sitting. I know that as you start going through a transition of life, you realize all of a sudden with that transition comes all knowledge. Am I right? You know everything. And your parents can tell you nothing. And they should not ever tell you to do something because you are now a man in your own right. But you know what? I lived in my father's house for many years. He was the head of that home. And the Bible says to honor your father and mother. I was to give him honor. I'm not trying to make it sound perfect. I definitely had my share of times where I'm like, no, that's not going to happen. And things happened, transpired, and it happened. You know, I mean, the will was made known, and it was ended up being followed. But 1 Samuel 17. So no, guys, don't think I'm making fun of you because of you. I know because I was, if you're not like me, praise God. But I'm just going to assume that we all have different levels of that at different times of our teenage lives. 1 Samuel 17, verse 17, Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand and look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge. Now, David had a pretty good thing going on. He's watching his father's sheep, playing some music out there. I've been in Israel where you're in the middle of nowhere. And you see a shepherd just out there resting on his staff, watching the sheep while playing a game on his smartphone. So it's not exactly the same anymore. But the peace and tranquility is just so beautiful. Not to mention, on occasion, I mean, every young guy, correct me if I'm wrong, young men, you like a little bit of excitement, right? Just me? Are you guys like a little excitement? You like a little excitement. How about a bear coming out of the woods? And you just grab that thing and slay it. Now here comes a lion. I'm going to take this thing out too. This is exciting. You have total peace with moments of brief adrenaline rush, and you get to do something fun. I would like that life. But now my dad wants me to be an Uber deliverer and take food to my brothers, who they get to be in the battle. They pick on me all the time. I'm going to go there, and they're going to pick on me again. I'd rather just go sit with the sheep. What if David had said, Dad, this is what you have servants for? Because Dad had to replace David with a servant to watch the sheep. Could have said, these are my sheep, Dad. These are the ones I care for. Please just send a servant. I don't want to do this. But we read through the Bible sometimes and we just see that. But David still has a free will. He made the decision to say, yes, I will do this. I will obey. I will go. Look, go to 1 Samuel 18. That decision had a ripple effect that the Goliath, the giant who had been blaspheming the Lord God, was killed after 40 days of daily coming to tempt the armies of Israel. Israel gained victory over the Philistines, something that they, day by day, would be getting so discouraged and distraught to see this every day coming out against them, and they could make no headway against them. They had victory over the Philistines. The trust Israel had in God was once again restored as they saw God work through a shepherd boy. But not only that, the people of Israel got to see who God had picked to be their next king. They didn't know it at the time, but look at 1 Samuel 18, verse 6. Imagine, I get excited reading through I love the books of Samuel and Kings. I just love them because there's so many things I try to just think about in that moment. David goes out carrying the cheeses and all the food, and he comes back in to this in verse 6. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel as they make their way back home, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. A previously unknown shepherd boy is now being sung about by all the women of Israel that he is greater than the king himself in his victory. Think about, David's like coming in, whoa, they know my name. And I mean, okay, guys, again, I've been a teenage guy. If I'm coming in city by city and all the people of the city are singing out that I've done more than the king, you can't help but get a little excited about that, a little bit. Whoa, how about that? Nobody knew who I was, and now I'm the great victor. And remembering that he was anointed to be the next king, the people of Israel had an opportunity to see their next king in action because David said, yes, Dad, I'll go. Young man, this time of your life is very formative. It's very important for you as you develop into being the type of man that God would have you to be. And sometimes you might look at some of the commands being given or the orders given as like, why in the world do I have to do that? Well, you know what? A lot of young men make the mistake of thinking, I'm done obeying orders. I'm going to join the Marine Corps. And then they're told to dig holes in the fields that go nowhere, which makes no sense. There's reasons for why orders like that are given. And your parents, fearing God, loving God, wanting the best for you, you may not see it at the time. But if you obey and follow, just maybe there might be some long-term ripple effect that comes from one of those things that impacts your life. You don't know. That's the beauty of it. It could be the thing of, hey, take the garbage out. Or it might be something greater. And this can go for young women too. This can go for all of us. But this was happened to be a young man. Let's go to Esther chapter 6. Just seeing some of biblical examples of good ripple effects that came from decisions that were made. And this was somewhat of a hard decision, possibly, I would imagine, for Mordecai, being that he was a captive in this land, and he hears a story of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlain chamberlains talking about killing the king, Ahasuerus. And he reports it. I mean, if this king is reigning over you and you're in a place that you don't want to be, you'd rather be with your own people in your own land, maybe if this king gets assassinated, the new guy is going to send you back. But he goes and tells. He says, there's this plot going on. And then, of course, God gets in all this thing, even though, as we know, that the name of God isn't mentioned in this book. But God, of course, gets into this thing and starts moving on this. And it says in verse 1, on that night, could not the king sleep? God gave the king a little touch of insomnia, and he commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles. And they were read before the king. I love that. It's like, bring the stuff that's stuff I'm supposed to know, because that always puts me to sleep, right? And he brings it, and they start reading, and it's found written. He's listening. Oh, here's the time that Mordecai had reported about your chamberlains that were going to kill you. Wait, what? I don't remember hearing about that. Keep going, keep going. And he gets to the end of the story, and he says, wait, what did we do for him? Nothing. Who's around here? Bring in Haman or Haman. And it says in verse 7, oh, when he's asked, what should we do to the man that the king delights to honor? For the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head, and let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Good job, Haman. Go get Mordecai and do that to him. You're the chief prince. Because Mordecai one day made a decision that said, I heard some talk of wrongdoing. I'm going to report this because it's the right thing to do. This is the king. And he ends up being elevated to the spot of Haman after being wrought throughout the city because of one decision that he made. You don't think single decisions can impact your life? They can impact your life in huge ways thanks to that wonderful thing of the ripple effect. Now, let's go to this, and this will be our last part to look at. Let's go to John chapter 1. There's a wonderful thing that happens with the ripple effect. I'm sorry, not John. Jonah. Jonah 1. Just keeping you awake, that's all. Jonah 1. See, sometimes decisions are made that are not the right decision. And it causes those ripples that have the short-term, long-term effects that can really disrupt people. But there's something really important that we see over and over again in the Bible and in our very lives. In verse 4, it starts with it, but the Lord. But God. You know what happens? Sometimes that ripple starts happening and God blocks that off. Picks up that stone and throws it in another direction. Look what he did in verse 14 and 16. This ripple effect of Jonah's decisions impacts these men. It drives them to their own religions. It drives them to have to lose all their wealth, what they have, but it also does something else. In the end, as they're about to throw him in, wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done it as it pleased thee. Where are their gods? All of a sudden, they're calling out to Jonah's God. Look at 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Jonah made a wrong decision. Ripple starts going, and God says, you know what, though? I'm going to get in this, and I'm going to take man's faulty decisions, and I'm going to do something with it. I'm going to make it so that they see me in spite of all this. And it's something that we can be thankful for, because you know what? I've made a lot of bad decisions in my life. I probably will continue to do so until the Lord calls us home. But it's a blessing to know that those times that we do make those decisions, God can still step in and say, you know what? We're not going to let it reach that far. I got a different plan in mind. Let's throw it over there and see what happens in a good ripple for God. Let's go to 2 Samuel 12. We're going to see another example about this. I love looking at examples in the Bible to prove these things, to highlight these things for us as we try to understand greater about subjects like this. And in this case, this is going back to that great man David. We know, as you turn to 2 Samuel 12, we know that he had sinned with Bathsheba, and as a consequence of that sin, he had some news that was going to get to her husband, so he decides to kill him when he doesn't follow his orders on how to try to confuse the situation. So he orders Uriah to be killed, and then after the mourning period has ended, he brings Bathsheba as his own wife with child. And God was not happy. He sends Nathan to correct David on that. And look at verse 14. Verse 13. David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. So the ripple effect, as it affected David's immediate life, was stop. God said, I've heard your prayer of forgiveness. It's done. But how be it? Because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. There's that ripple again. You've done something that's going to cause all our enemies to say, this is God's chosen king? This was the man chosen over Saul? He kills his own man, one of the mighty men. He steals his wife. Ha, ha, ha! They're just like us. God says, this can't happen. They're going to blaspheme my name because of the ripple effect. So God says, I got to stop that once again. And to do that, it's going to cost you your son's life. That son born out of this adulterous relationship is going to die because of the decision that was made. But look over at verse 24. So the ripple effect starts because of David's decision. It costs a man his life. It costs him his son's life. But God stops it from going further and taking David's own life. But look at what happened as God just steps right smack dab into that ripple and says in verse 24, and David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. God said, this was not the right way for a relationship to start. You made a bad decision, David. But you know what? The ripple effect has ended. We're going to start a new one. Because, but God. And God says, I love this son. He's going to become great in my sight. And I'm going to give him peace in all his days as he builds for me a house. Go to Genesis chapter 50 with Joseph. Long time before this, the brothers of Joseph made a decision out of selfishness, out of greed, out of brotherly whatever. That brother of ours, he's too good for his own good. We're going to get rid of it because you know what? He's standing in the way of us getting what we deserve. We are older than him. Our mother was our father's wife first. He doesn't get to be the big son. Let's sell him to the traders. He loves doing good things, and he loves showing off his knowledge, blah, blah, blah. Let him go do that over in Egypt. And they sell him to the Ishmaelite traders who take him away. And we know the story of Joseph. It goes through there. The ripple effect was strong from that single decision to sell their brother into slavery. Very strong. But look at what Joseph says about that. Verse number 19. Now that his father is dead, the brothers are so fearful yet again. And Joseph said to them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive, the known world, because of his plan to fight back against and prepare for the famine that was to come. See, they made a decision through their rock, and the ripple effect just starts tearing things up. Brought their father close to the point of death and despair because of what happened. And all of these things happen, going, 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 and God says, you know what, that's enough. I'm going to step right in the middle of that. We're going to pick that thing up, and we're going to do something entirely different. we're going to save humanity. Because the decision that those brothers made for bad, isn't it extraordinary? People make a decision out of anger and jealousy and frustration, and God says, I'll use that decision to end up impacting the world for me. We serve such a faithful God that even in our horrible sin, in our horrible decisions, by no good works on our part, God can still step in. The Bible says, but God, I'm going to disrupt what's going on. The ripple is done. Time for a new one to start. So that people can only say after that, it's God. You know, watch. We'll have the moment of invitation. We'll have the piano come. Watch the water. Our life is a big body of water. This world is a great, enormous body of water. And every time you make some decision, that stone is thrown. And you know what? You might have the most peaceful life. We're blessed that even though there's so many things wrong in this country, we still live in the greatest country of the world, I believe. The freedoms that we enjoy are unparalleled compared to many others. Even with the turmoil, it's still a pretty glassy sea. Things look like they're okay for us and maybe our path that we're in. All it takes is one decision by you to get that ripple going. You won't see where it ends. Even though the strength of it starts to fade out, it still continues a little bit more, a little bit more. You don't know how many generations may be impacted because of the decisions you make today. That's bad, and that's the good decisions too. Somebody says, you know what, I'm going to give myself to God. I don't know what God wants to do with me, but I'm going to do this for him. And maybe God's going to, the rest of your life, will have you sitting in this pew. But that decision you make today may ripple through the generations as you see somebody go to tell other people. God might say, you know what, I want you right here. I want you to continue doing the work for me right here. But maybe two generations from now, should the Lord tarry, you being willing to surrender to God, that ripple just goes down through. And it's going to affect everything of your life. Because you surrender to God, you give your life to God, it becomes God's. Your decisions start to come before God. It's going to impact and have a short-term and long-term effect. But the same goes true for the bad. But thank God, even those bad decisions that many of us have made in our years gone by, God has seen fit to redirect that. But he's not obligated to do that. So do not be making the bad decisions thinking that God's going to make it all right. Make a decision today that will be for good. See the waters just spread with the goodness of God from this generation on. Let's stand and we'll prepare to sing. We'll stand on. Let me pray first and then we'll... If God's moving your heart, make a decision to do something for God, to do something about that and see how God works. Let me pray. Come if God works in your heart. Dear Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for Jonah. Lord, he made a bad decision, a decision that impacted people he didn't even know. But Lord, you were still able to get in there in your faithfulness and make it work for your good. Lord, each one of us has made decisions that have been bad. And Lord, decisions that are good. I pray you'd help us with that, to submit to you, Lord, to make decisions that would impact not just our life, not just our families, but the next generation, this church, our community, maybe even this country, Lord, for you, based on decisions that we make today. Please lead and guide and direct in the hearts of each person now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.